Welcome to the Gaming Duo, where friendships are built through gaming. We're your hosts, Rob and Tony, Samurai KBG. Did I say it right that time?
You did it right.
Yay, okay, everybody. I did it, finally. Thank you, Tony, for joining in. If you guys are joining us for the first time, first off, thank you for tuning in. We are the podcast that keeps you, the gamers, up to date on the latest news and speculation about the gaming industry. Tony is here. He is a longtime friend. He actually was with us when we the gaming duo, were we the Project Tech Gaming? I don't know if you ever met Project Tech Gaming.
Oh, I definitely have no idea what Project Tech Gaming is. No.
Okay. That was a name prior to the gaming duo.
Oh.
So yeah, but you're a longtime standing guest here. And how you been? Tell us what you're doing. Tell us what's going on.
Oh, dude, I mean, somebody asked me this question yesterday when I was, like, playing the finals with him as, like, chaos was happening around
the
us.
The finals! Just,
like, of all the spots, I don't know where to begin as a building's collapsing, and I'm just like, I'm volunteering at a humane society, I'm starting some dance lessons, I got a new gig that I'm producing this web series for this art museum, and I'm trying to reach 40K, and it's like all this, like, this is the worst time.
But was it the best time?
It was a busy year, man.
It was the best time to do it. You know,
it was the best time because of the story. I will say that. But exactly. Yeah, there's just a lot that I'm trying to hit this year, and it's just an ambitious year, very ambitious year. If people haven't heard me here, just hello, thanks for listening. I'm Samurai Kibuji, aka Tony. I like to speculate, express, connect. That's a new phrase of mine. That's the value of my channel. So just look me up, Samurai Kibuji, and that's what we're doing here. We're speculating. I love it. And I'm glad to be back.
You have the newest video you have is Shocking Deal Made for Crash Bandicoot, right? So it's about toys for Bob, correct?
It's like, it's not even a stream, dude. I went like, or sorry, it's not even video. It's a stream.
It's a stream,
like,
right.
I was like, I have like a coach now, FYI. And he's like, why don't you stream the next time a piece of news drops? I'm like, sure, I'll try it. That's what I did.
There you go. So. You are the man when it comes to anything. Overall, you have a pretty good grasp of all the different publishers, but specifically you try to tackle Xbox, right? That's kind of like your primary.
I'm definitely an Xbox guy. Yeah. I got all my consoles. I pay attention to everything, but I'm definitely an Xbox guy. Yeah.
Yeah. And we have you specifically for today because we're going to be talking a lot about Xbox and Activision, all that fun stuff. But other
that
than
the, perfect.
Yeah. Other than the finals, what else have you been playing? Have you been dabbling with stuff? Have you touched Final Fantasy Rebirth?
Rob, I was kind of curious about you. I'll answer that. But are you loving? Did you enjoy your weekend? Did it come yet?
No, I didn't. I didn't really have a weekend, which kind of sucks. Yeah, it sucked. But I did get to do remote play on my phone and played Final Fantasy Rebirth.
What?
Yeah.
What? How does that work?
I have a PS5 controller. I take the PS5 controller. I have a little mount. It's in my bag right now, so I'm not going to grab, but I just mount the PS5 controller on here, and I boot up the PS app, and let me tell you, it runs flawlessly.
Wow.
The downside is that it is a little bit of a small screen, so you got to squint a little bit to see everything, but the action was crazy, so got to experience that a little bit.
But how do you get it on, like, there but not like you're still waiting on the copy but you're still able to play it?
Oh, you're saying that how I'm playing the game? Oh, I just got a digital version.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you got it.
Yeah. Yeah. I got it. I could not wait till. Okay, so update on that. So if you guys,
I thought you were waiting on it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I forgot. Like, you tweeted at me. You said, like, you're waiting. No, I cracked.
I was like, what a patient man. I'm proud of you.
I'll tell you why. The reason why was because I was tracking my package. So if you guys don't know, I pre-ordered the collector's edition of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. This is like a $400 freaking thing, right? And I'm like, I know usually they like take a day or two to get to you. And I was like, I'm going to be patient. And then the game came out. Right. And I'm like, it's okay. I'm going to wait till tomorrow and I'm going to play the game. It's going to be great. And Tony tweets me. He's like, Rob, you know, it's so awesome that you're being so patient with the game. I'm like, yeah, man. Yeah, totally. And then I log on to UPS and I get an email saying, hey, your package is delayed. We have no update for you. We have no idea where it is. And I was like, great. I love this. And it's now like, you know, Friday, Saturday, I look into it, it's still there. So I call UPS and I'm like, what is going on with this thing? And they said that it is most likely lost and you should probably set up a claim. God. And I was like, that's nice. And I emailed Square Enix. Obviously they didn't, they're like, whatever. Right. They're like, oh, we'll get to you when we get to you.
Sure.
But yeah. Then I looked on UPS.com today and there's an update saying that I'm going to get it tomorrow. It's in New Jersey right now. So we'll okay. see. We'll see.
Okay. Well, so you're, but at least, so you're still playing it. And like, yeah. So,
yeah, yeah. Okay. So after all that, do you blame me for going, you know, getting a digital copy?
And I will say you're not alone. Like, I have a longtime patron of mine who I know she's like a hard Final Fantasy fan and she got the collector's edition too. And she's experienced the same exact thing. So I don't know if that's like a collector's edition problem or something, but she has the same thing where she's like, I have to wait like 5 days after it comes out and that's BS. So,
yeah.
But I'm happy for y'all playing it. I'm hoping you're loving it and stuff. So
game of the year.
Yeah.
Game of the year right now.
I don't know if and when I will ever touch it. I have to be honest.
I will say,
because I don't want to.
Okay.
It's not because I don't want to. It's just not a priority. I haven't touched Remake either, and I haven't played the original Final Fantasy VII. So, yeah.
That makes sense. That makes a lot more sense that you haven't done any of those. I'd be like, if you played the seven, why are you not touching this? It's weird. But
oh, totally. No, if I played the original, I'd be all over it. Yeah. I have a goal. I'm going to play the original seven this year. So I'm hoping that'll kind of escalate where I'll play the original and then I'll play Remake and then I'll play Rebirth or something. Yeah, but we'll see. But like one a year or something. I'm not in any rush is what I'm getting at.
Gotcha. And one thing I will ask you, though, I know Shadow of the Erdtree, Tree, we got an announcement a couple weeks ago. Are you like on cloud nine? Are you like scared? Are you happy? Are you like, oh no, I have to go through this again?
I literally put on my first off, I'm not gonna replay the entire game again.
No,
that's not happening.
Nope.
Not with the way Tony plays, but I have a reaction video to the trailer and I literally say in it, I finally have something this year that I'm looking forward to as much as Hellblade 2, thank God.
Right.
Because I seriously, there's nothing this year that I am like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Like, but this is finally something. So yeah, I'm super stoked for it. I'm literally like thinking of all these things I want to make sure I have beat before then, because I'm gone when Erdtree comes out. So
yeah.
But to just quickly answer your original question, what am I playing? A Persona 3 Reload. I am really enjoying it. It's my first ever Persona game, FYI, playing it thanks to Game Pass. It's my February game, which I'm trying to play like a Game Pass game every month to make it all the more kind of paying for itself. But boy, I am over 50 hours into Persona. I have been warned about how long these games are, but I am like, I want this to be over. Not because like I'm not enjoying it, but it's just like, I think I can't handle games more than 30 hours unless it's a game that I am loving, kind of a thing. And I'm really liking Persona 3. I was really actually loving the first 30 hours, but now I'm like, all right, where's the end? And
you're then like, somebody I tells get it. Me,
oh, you're at the halfway point now. I'm like, no, I'm not.
I think it took me 80 hours to beat Persona 5. I think it took me about
That's 80. What everybody keeps telling me. Yeah, Persona 5 was like 80 hours.
I'm still in the beginning of that game. For the most part, I'm in the dungeon, whatever, going through the motions, but I just passed my midterms and I'm probably at least 10 hours into the game at this point. When is the story picking up here? Because it seems like the story just,
how many people are in your party right now?
Four. I don't have the chick.
Like
yet.
You could have a total of four in your party.
Yes. But I haven't got the chick yet.
Okay.
The other chick yet. Yeah.
Yeah. The chick yet. Yeah. I know where you're at and you are pretty, I will say when she's kind of right away at the beginning of the game, but when the chick you're referring to, when she gets in the party, it'll start to pick up.
Okay.
20 million hours after that. So
okay.
No, the story does, and it's actually in a lot of reviews. The story does take a while to pick up. It's, I would say when you get six party members, that's when like the game starts to, okay, this is what we're all about.
We're getting the roller coaster now, right? We're getting like the,
yeah, when you get your sixth party member, I'd say that's when it starts to pick up. And the sixth party member also is like, ooh, this is getting a lot more dynamic in terms of the combat too. So
yeah. Is it the guy with the hat? Because he's badass looking. Don't ruin it for me. But there's the guy with a hat, like a beanie. He looks really cool.
Oh, I know you're talking about. Yeah, I won't say, but
yeah. But enough about what we're playing, right? Let's move on to the news. That's what we brought you on for. Come on. The Daily Duo Report. We have a tradition now where you got to say Daily Duo in a really funny voice or sing it or whatever.
I got you.
Let's do it.
I got you.
Oh, my God.
The Daily Duo. Daily Duo.
Oh my God, I'm not even gonna try to match that. Wow, that was incredible. Okay, I woke me up. Let's get into the Daily Duo news. Microsoft is gonna be hosting a partner preview Wednesday, March 6th, so tomorrow. The event will kick off at 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. Eastern time.
Never mind. I forgot when you post this. Okay. Yep. Keep going. Yep. Tomorrow for when you post this. Yep.
It's going to be about 30 minutes long. Capcom, Nexon, EA will be showing off new and exciting upcoming games. There's three games that they kind of highlighted. It's going to be Tales of Kenzera. This was shown at the Game Awards. It was that kind of like the African game where you know what I'm talking about as far as like... It kind of reminded me of like a Prince of Persia, like a side scroller like that.
Yeah.
It's very, very, the guy dedicated the game to his father, or something like that. It was really cool. We have Kunitsi Gami, Path of the Goddess, which was from Capcom, reminded me of Genji. And then we have the first Berserker, which was, an anime style RPG. So, with that said, what are your hype levels? How are you feeling about this partner preview? What can we expect?
I love that this is a thing because but just insight before this, Rob was like, wait, it's not direct. I'm like, no, it's preview. And then there's like a developer direct and then there's a showcase. They have all these things now. And I love the idea that preview might be like the void, if you will, where you start the year off with the developer direct in January. Then we'll have a partner preview in the middle, or sorry, in between, where the middle of the year is the showcase, and then they'll have another partner preview to fill the next middle in like November or October. Yeah, it was October last year, which is perfect. I think it's neat. I like that idea. They're gonna have something like, you know, filling that gap a lot, which is what a lot of us asked for. So I like that. But the partner preview itself, I think first off, this is where Visions of Mana should have been, FYI.
Yes, I agree. I agree 100%.
100%. So I told people that all the time. If they have another partner preview, why not just say it for that? But yeah, it's great because we get to see what their partners are up to. It's a really neat list, you know, putting Capcom, Nexon, and EA as like front runners on there. Like the last one we saw of these, that's where we saw gameplay of, to you guys, the Metal Gear Solid 3 remake. That was the last one that we saw of this. Don't expect too much Game Pass. If you're that's a big thing that if you're an Xbox fan, you look forward to is like, oh, it's going to be on Game Pass. But I think like I would say maybe expect a third, if not maybe a fourth of these titles, like 30% probably will be Game Pass titles. I think already the Capcom one and I think the African one, those are two, I believe, going on Game Pass for sure. The Capcom one. But I'm curious. I have a potential breaking news for you.
A breaking news. Okay. What is this breaking news? Okay. What is
it? And it has to do with this though, because I was working on this video beforehand. And I'm like, all right, what's some games coming to Game Pass this year? What's 20 awesome games that you don't want to miss? And I thought of, okay, Hollow Knight Silksong.
Where is it?
That's supposed to happen this year.
Yeah, where is it?
It was supposed to happen last year, but Team Cherry, they needed more time. Well, apparently, somebody on Reddit, I'll just read this, per you, Reflection, or whatever on Reddit. Mm-hmm. Basically, somebody noticed that the Steam page got a little update or something.
Yep. And that's like,
and so people were like, what's the timing of that? So. You never know. Maybe that'll be part of this.
I have,
and that is a game day one title for Game Pass, which is wild. That's absolutely insane.
I feel like it would fit perfectly into this partner preview if we had Silksong in here. And it's funny because my fiance, she's playing, she just beat the Ori games on her Switch, right? Mm. Like literally. So I'm like, that would be, because she asked me, she's like, how's Hollow Knight? I was like, Hollow Knight's a really good game. Like, I think you would like it, but it is a little on the harder side, I think. But that'd be really cool if Silksong came out, because it's like, she literally just beat those games. I can recommend her, you know, that. Yeah. So, I was gonna say, are you a big Hollow Knight fan, or you're kind of like, you're just excited about the title? Like, the
I'm excited about, okay, like, I'm excited. It's one of those things I'm excited for, people. I didn't really play the first one. I just tried it out, and I'm like, this is cool, but I'm in the middle of something else, kind of a thing. So I'll come back to this, and I never did. But it's my best friend adores it, but I'm just excited for people on this, because it's like, I think it's like the most anticipated indie I have seen in a long time.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
So yeah, every time there's a Nintendo Indie World, all you see in that chat is Silksong, Silksong. So
just like, stop.
So yeah, like if you're listening to this, you want a fun time, look at my reaction to when it showed up at Xbox's showcase, and I was like, it's here. So maybe, but I think Nexon's interesting that they put that, because that is the publisher for the finals, and also for that studio in general, Embark Games. And I'm curious if they will show the final season 2 on there, and or Embark's other game that they're working on. That could be something, but probably not. It's just probably another Dave the Diver expansion.
First, yeah, maybe. So Nexon is also the ones that are doing the first Berserker, right? Or is that?
Oh, are they? Well, then whoops, that's what it is. If that's the case.
Okay. I think I read that it was Nexon. That was the first Berserker. But all of these games that were highlighted, Tales of Kinzera, Kunitsi.
Which Berserker looks dope. I will say that. It looks sick. Yeah.
I hate making this, but you know, it looks like an anime style Dark Souls, but that's so like, that's not it. Like, I don't want to say that, but it, you know, the RPG kind of whatever. The Kunitsi game, Path of the Goddess, this was the Capcom one. It reminds me of something I've played before. It's not a Mushu game, but it kind of gives me those vibes. And it also, do you remember Genji from, it was a PS3 launch title way back in the day?
I thought you were talking about Overwatch.
No, but I think the game is actually called Genji PS3. Let's see if that's what it's called.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Days of the Blade. So I think that's the game. But yeah, any of these games kind of like speak to you, these three that they highlighted that they're 100% going to be there? Is there any of them?
I would say first Berserker. I'm very curious to look at that, and Path of the Goddess. That's the Capcom one, but
yep.
I think first off, score with Capcom, like, 2023 and 2024, I guess Game Pass is getting the Capcom multiplayer games they're trying out, which makes sense because you want more players for it. So they're going to show that here. But yeah, I'd say Path of the Goddess and first Berserker. But I am really curious, however, because those are their main three, you said, but it's a 30-minute broadcast with, quote unquote, more than a dozen new trailers. And the last partner preview, there was... It kept going. It was a really good format. I really appreciate it. There's no like fluff, no, hey, this is our thing. They just kind of kept showing a thing with a little graphic at the end. That's just like, if you want to learn the behind the scenes stuff, go to Xbox Wire. So I'm curious what the other 9+ games are. As I said, maybe Silksong, maybe something else. Why were you rubbing your hands?
No, I just, the fact that you said 12 trailers of, like, yeah, that, I'm pretty excited for that. What are you drinking? Why is it? Oh, it's just a koozie. Oh my god!
It's just
I was like, why is it so red? What is he drinking? That's so red like that. It's just got it. Yeah, got it. Yeah, I'm excited. Everyone should be excited because Game Pass or Xbox has shown that they can put on some good showcases for us, and they're doing it in a way where they're still kind of figuring things out. But I think everything has like its plan, like you said in the beginning, where they have the direct coming up first, then they have this preview, and then they'll have the Xbox showcase at the end of the, you know, at the middle, or what's the thing happens the summer Game Fest, right? That they're part of.
I will. Oh, I have a hope for this. Just like a personal hope. I really hope to see Erebann: The Shadow Legacy. That was a game they showed in like their summer showcase back in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Looked dope because it was like a stealth action game that you're using some ability to go into shadows on walls and stealth kill robots. It looks so cool. We haven't heard anything of it or seen anything of it since. And that was a total partner game. So I hope that shows up here, but we'll see.
Well, we shall see. Well, let's move on. We're going to take a break from the news. If you guys are enjoying this episode, please rate us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Drop us a review. Remember to follow us on all social media platforms. Be part of the Gaming Duo community by joining our Discord server, where friendships are truly built through gaming. You would have learned about my debacle with Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. And yeah, fun times. By the way, before we get back into the news, Tony, I just want to say thank you for recommending me the book, Blood, Sweat, and Pixels by Jason Schreier.
Yeah, I heard you're reading it. I'm like,
I am in chapter 8, I want to say, right now. I'm listening in audio format just because that's just, okay. I feel like a really good way for me to at least get
the
information.
It's so interesting, isn't it?
Oh, it's so good. There are some of the chapters where like I wasn't as into, but like, I just finished Shovel Knight, which was really cool. Stardew Valley was a cool one, and I want to go into spoilers. Like that's
just a cool one. Yeah,
but
it just stories of all shapes and sizes, from the Stardew Valley one being just one person to like whole full blown studios. Yeah, it's super interesting. Just learn how all that works.
Yeah,
and it worked. Huh, I don't know.
Right, and you'll see. And honestly, it made me. I'm like, wow, game developers have it so. Like it makes you appreciate the craft and good find on that, and thank you for the recommendation. Let's get back into the news. Real quick, Xbox is launching a $700 SpongeBob Special Edition Xbox console bundle. How do you feel about this? I think it's only available for one day.
What's funny is I got a Twitch notification of somebody playing like SpongeBob Battle for Bikini Bottom. I'm like, where the hell did this come from? And now I saw this piece of news and I'm like, is this really why? But I don't know. Cool.
Yeah, it's
anybody that wants it.
It's only available on Best Buy drops on the retail mobile app. It's available only on March 7th. And it comes with All-Star Brawl 2, Nickelodeon's All-Star Brawl 2. So if you guys are huge fans, I'm sure this thing is going to sell out because that's just what these things do. And then it'll be on eBay the next day for like $1,500. And that's okay. You know, that's just how it is. But yeah, kind of ridiculous. It's fun though.
Yeah. If anything, I kind of wish it was the series. It's for the X, right?
Yeah, yeah. Literally.
I wish it was for the S. I think that, well, I guess the S, the giant speaker on it wouldn't really work for that. So, okay. But I just, you know, the S is literally like the shape of a sponge. So I don't know. But.
Right. It's literally SpongeBob shaped, the X. So, yeah. So let's talk about Toys for Bob, right? That happened end of last week. If you guys don't know who Toy for Bob's is Crash and Spyro publisher or developer. They're leaving Activision and they're going to go independent. So going independent could help the studio avoid the fate of other AAA studios that were brought out and subsequently closed down. February 29th, Toys for Bob revealed that it's going indie. The blog post that accompanied the studio announcement, available on its website, stated that Toys for Bob wishes to return to its roots of being a small and nimble studio, and that it's exploring possible partnerships between its new studio and Microsoft. That's from Game Rant. So, Spyro, Crash Bandicoot, Professor Bob, how are we feeling about this? I think this is awesome. I think it's good news.
It's, and you know, like that, and that's in combination with also, I think it was like the same, there was a lot of studio and whatever stuff that happened last week, but I guess like Saber Interactive also got to become their own studio off of Embracer Group. So shout out to escaping the cold, hard hands of Embracer Group.
Right. Literally.
But in terms of Toys for Bob, I think that's really interesting. Because I have to make sure I don't ramble here, but basically, it's really fascinating that Microsoft just acquired, you know, these guys along with all the people, Activision, Blizzard, and so on, King. And they did their whole round tour of all these studios to check, like, okay, what do you want to work on? Like, what do you want to do? Kind of a thing. And I would love to know the meeting that happened when they went to Toys for Bob, because the previous week, they just got done, or I think it was actually 2 weeks before this, they did their layoffs, and Toys for Bob was a part of that, FYI. They lost about, I think it was like 45% of their staff. So they lost like around 86 people, and they were left with like 82. And I'm really curious about just how this happened, because you look at all these indie studios specifically that joined Microsoft, like Double Fine and Obsidian. Those are two studios that were, you're listening to the book, Rob. Obsidian, I don't know if you got to that story yet, but they were super like independent. They would make the games they want. They'd mm-hmm. figure out how to sell the games. They do their Kickstarter. Double Fine would do the same thing. They run Kickstarters all the time. That's why they took so long to do Psychonauts 2. These are two studios that were indie and got tired of it and just became part of Microsoft to make the games they want. So with that in mind, why did Toys for Bob leave?
Maybe a couple things, right? Maybe because Xbox was like, okay, you're gonna make Spyro and Crash Bandicoot, and that's what you're gonna like, because we know those are people are familiar with that, and try and reinvent them. And they're probably like, we don't want to make that again anymore. We want to do our own thing and try and recapture the magic that helped us create those IPs in the first place, right? Granted, there are different people that are there and stuff like that, but that's how I feel. I think that's what's going on is. Maybe they're over Crash Bandicoot and Spyro. I said in the article, they're like, yeah, we want to do other titles. We don't want to just be known for Spyro and Crash.
That's not what I read.
And now it's not what you read? What did you read?
Well, they want to keep their titles fresh and new and still keep that spirit. That's true. But so here's my theory, basically.
Okay.
They 2 weeks ago, they, as I said, they got rid of half the people. And it was part of quote unquote redundancies, whatever that means. Actually, I do know what that means, but another time. But and they also lost their physical studio. And that kind of makes sense, because if your team got so much smaller, then you don't need this big space for us right. to furniture anymore, kind of a thing. And so I have a feeling Toys for Bob, this is a studio that was really becoming part of the Call of Duty machine. They were. But they made Crash 4 back in 2020. They released Crash Rumble, whatever, last year. And so they're still making stuff, but half of that studio was working on COD games. And I wonder if the half that got laid off was the COD people.
Mm.
And that way, that was part of the first conversation where Microsoft's like, okay, what do you want? It's like, look, we want out of the COD machine. We want to work on the games that we actually care about. It's like, cool. Do you still need these people? No. Get rid of all the COD people. We don't need them anymore. Okay, but if we do that, you're going to lose your space because it's kind of too big for you guys. Fine. Whatever. But what if the other half of that was, for years, Toys for Bob was trying to get out of Activision, but they never could.
Yeah.
Until now. They've been wanting to go independent, but they couldn't until now because they have a new boss that's actually going to hear them out. And the thing is that whenever a studio wants to leave a company, it usually comes at, like, you have to work some deal. Bungie, way back in the day, left Microsoft and whatever. They wanted to go independent, and they got to. But Microsoft's like, you got to make us two more Halo games, which mm-hmm. was ODST and Reach.
Right.
And after you make those two games, that gives us time to make a new studio and, you know, hand the franchise off. That's what happened with them. So maybe Toys for Bob, it's kind of the opposite, where it's like, okay, we don't want you to just kind of leave, but can we give you your freedom? In exchange, we work out some kind of plan that you could still make a couple platformers for us. I think that sounds pretty feasible. This is all just speculation. It's my favorite thing to do. But
right. Yep.
I don't know if that sounds pretty sound to you, but it's just, I thought that kind of made sense with them being ran by Activision for so many years and being part of the COD machine. But yeah, I don't know.
So the only reason why I said that earlier was because I was reading from Games Rant and it says, it's still a shame to miss out on Toys for Bob's big IP titles. It says, however, quote, this is a quote from Game Rant, it is a shame that Toys for Bob will most likely not be working on future Crash Bandicoot or Spyro games. So
yeah, Game Rant, I don't know shit.
I'm kidding. So what you said.
Well, it's just, I think that was for a click, honestly, because it would be very unlikely that Microsoft would just kind of let them go. You know, I think it's neat that they did. If this was, some people say this wasn't a Toys for Bob decision, this was actually a Microsoft decision. They were originally just going to close the studio because it's a studio that doesn't make much money. That's a potential idea. We have no idea. That's why I wish I was a fly on the wall. But I get the feeling that they worked out a deal that's like, we'll let you go free because they wanted to be free for years.
Yeah, for sure.
But there's rumor that they're working on Spyro 4 before they left. Finish that game. And another example of the studios getting to make what they want. Tim Schmoyer at Double Fine said for years, I refuse. I do not want to make a Banjo game. We want to make our own IP, new IP. And nobody there wants to work on a Banjo game. And I want to hear freaking Phil and Matt Booty go, listen, we'll let you leave,
but you have to make a Banjo game.
And Toys R Bob was like, fine. Okay, we'll do it. Okay, let's finish Spyro 4 and then do a Banjo game.
That's amazing. But that makes total sense about the Warzone thing. I was not aware about the Warzone aspect for Toys R Bob. So that makes a way more sense the way you put it about how like they let that team go because they're like, okay, work on the other things you want to work on, which is the Spyros, the Crashes, over the Banjo-Kazooie, like you said.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. Do it.
So anything else before we close out the gaming news for today?
On a personal level, I'm going to really miss the idea that Toys R Bob was an Xbox game studio because I love them as a platformer. That's something that Xbox doesn't have, like a hardcore platformer studio other than Double Fine. But I really like the idea Toys R Bob and Double Fine were going to be those together and playing all their games day one and Game Pass going forward. But we'll still probably get through this partnership one or two more. But after that one or two more, I'm like, oh, well.
Oh, well, yeah.
I'm gonna miss them.
So. No, for sure. Definitely a awesome.
And hope this works great for them. Truly.
I think so. I think it will.
They won't have a company that's looking over them, making sure make this much money and then we'll lay you off if you don't kind of a thing. That's probably why they wanted this. So
exactly.
And Microsoft doesn't have to pay the full benefits either. That's another part that they're probably like, you know what? All right, go ahead.
Right. It's like we got enough on our plate right now with all the things happening. Yeah. So like,
we'll contract you guys, make a game for us. Yeah,
right. Exactly. So, guys, that concludes the gaming news for today. Tony, thank you so much for joining in and helping us out. Really appreciate you. We love you. You're the man. I'm going to stop gassing you up now.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Ladies and gentlemen, if you enjoyed me, please feel free to check me out. Samurai K-I-B-I-J-I.
It's great. It's amazing stuff. What does your streaming schedule look like?
Oh, streaming schedule. I don't exactly have one. That's one of the goals this year. I want to have a streaming schedule, but yeah, just make sure you sub with the bell, especially if a piece of news drops, that might be a new thing where I just might do spontaneous news streams for just one thing like I did for Crash. And yeah, I have the goal of, I'm tired of being in the 30K subs area. So if you want to help push that, then check out the channel and promote to your friends and keep speculating with me. Keep expressing. Keep connecting. Let's do it, gang. 40K.
Yeah, definitely give him a sub. 100%. we'll catch you guys tomorrow. Go to GameDudePod.com. Leave a review. Buy some stuff. Love you guys. Goodbye.